Hey, folks, if you're in Austin and you're looking to see some live music in the live music capital of the world, why not check out 2013-2014 Austin Chronicle Music Poll winner for Best All Ages Venue, Best Sounding Venue, and Best Venue. It's Strange Brew Loungeside. That's right. Simply go to strangebrewloungeside.com, look on their calendar, and find out what's going on. From Joey Lee to Christopher Cross, Steve Poltz to today's guest, Amy Cook, they're all playing there. Go to Strange Brew Loungeside for yourself. See what Austin's best venue has to offer. strangebrewloungeside.com. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show, the third show of the week. I have a fantastic show for you today, guys. The return of Amy Cook, one of my favorite singer-songwriters and one of my favorite people to sit down and talk to. She came by last week and we sat down and talked. She is a Black Fret grant recipient. She just won one of those grants that we talked about earlier in the week from Black Fret. And so we had her on the show to talk about what's been going on. And we had a great conversation about everything from working with Robert Plant to butt implants, to winning the Black Fret grant, everything. And she's got a show tomorrow night at Strange Brew, sponsor of the show today. She's playing tomorrow, Saturday, January 24th at Strange Brew. Get on out there and see that if you can, because she is amazing. So we have a great conversation about all kinds of stuff, and always great to see Amy. I'm glad that she took the time to come by, sit down, and enjoy our conversation. It will be coming up in just a moment after I tell you what's going on with me. I went on a podcast last night, Austin After Dark, with this guy Patrick and, of course, MC Overlord. This guy Michael was there, and, of course, one of my best friends, AJ Vallejo, was there. It's great to see them. I had some cocktails. I enjoyed it was kind of a shorter show. I don't think it was that long because they were having some technical difficulties going into it. But anyway, we got into it, all had a good time, a good laugh. It's worth listening to. But I ended up leaving my credit card behind. God, that is annoying, right? You got to go back the next day. Well, the joke's on me. AJ charged a bunch of drinks on my tab, I think, for leaving before he played. So that's pretty funny. That happened. Also, today I became aware of Invisible Boyfriend. Have you guys heard about this app? It's kind of disturbing to me. I mean, basically, it's this app. Here, I'll read you what it's about. For all those moments when you need to conjure an enviable doting boyfriend or girlfriend in an instant. These moments are family gatherings, brunch with your engaged friends, the crucial weeks after a breakup. Anyway, Invisible Boyfriend, this app asks $25 for the tool to help you feign a relationship. It gives you, for the $25, you get 100 text messages, 10 voicemails, one handwritten note, photos, and a backstory that doesn't involve Tinder, Twitter, or OkCupid. Okay, look. That is fucking weird. So you can go around lying to people? You know what I mean? The Invisible Boyfriend is not just for the lonely. Fake love also offers plenty of revenge potential in the rebound area and is an effective way to shut up those people who won't let you live your single life in peace. Like, is that fucking weird? Is it that? I mean, is it like after you break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend, then you go meet them to get your stuff and your phone's blowing up with all these fake texts? They say that it's good for service, people in the armed forces, soldiers who want to pretend they have a girlfriend back home. To who? I mean, don't you think that's fucking weird? What kind of society are we living in? I mean, what's going on out there? You know what I mean? Like, do you have to go around lying to people that you have some kind of significant other, a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Is this designed for you to start believing it, like that movie Her? It's not reacting to things that you're saying. It's just sending you these weird texts. Do you text back? That is just weird. I'm sorry, but that goes in there with the butt implant thing, which I still don't understand. And Amy and I had a great conversation about it because what are we doing? What's going on with this society? I mean, I know we can't go back to just like, you know, living in a cave, you know, but have matches or, you know what I mean? Or electricity and cable. But I mean, this are there that many people out there that want to lie about having a relationship with somebody? Is that there that many people that want to be somewhere and get text messages from somebody that actually doesn't exist and then pretend to have a reaction to it? I mean, is this designed for you to live a lie, to help you live a lie? I don't know what that is all about. It's fucking weird. It's totally weird. Anyway, look, that's my thing on Invisible Boyfriend. I don't like it. Tell me what you think. I'm at Johnny Gowdy on Twitter, or go to our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here, and write and tell me what you think of Invisible Boyfriend on there. What do you think of that? I mean, it's weird. I wish Amy would have been here and we could have talked about that, because I'm sure we would have had a good laugh about it, but it's certainly strange. I don't even know what to think about it. All right? So that's my thing. Invisible Boyfriend, what do you think? Let's get to this conversation with the amazing Amy Cook. She's a fantastic singer-songwriter. She's playing tomorrow night, Saturday, January 24th, at the Strange Brew Lounge side here in Austin, Texas. Proud sponsor of the show. Love those guys. I love playing there. I love going there. And shows are always great there. I'm sure Amy's going to be fantastic in that room. All right. Enjoy my conversation with the amazing Amy Cook. If you do not know a lot about her, you can go to amycook.com and find out what's going on. I suggest checking out her latest album, Summer Skin, or the album before that, Let the Light In, which was produced by Alejandro Escobedo. Check it out. She's got Robert Plant singing with her and everything. All right. Enjoy my conversation with the lovely and talented Amy Cook.
Seasons change all around you. You keep your ear to the ground, asking what if it's true.
It's a weird thing to buy. You know what I mean? When you normally don't have money and stuff and you're like,
I need this.
Yeah, I bought that thing for $350. What does it do? Same thing as all this other stuff does.
Just beep beep.
Just, yeah, it's just neato. It's new.
It's neato and awesome.
Do you use stuff like when you sit down to write, do you ever do that? Like turn on some machine and push a button and start singing?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
My last record, I used a lot of little clicks and zingers and
yeah,
knobs and like what is that Boss one that's like the Dr. Groove?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Groove.
Isn't that what it is?
I think so,
or
yeah.
Mr. Groove or
I have a Groove
Uncle
box.
Groove.
Yeah.
And
Uncle Groove.
And I made most of the record like just completely with, you know, weird guitar sounds and all the, like drum beats and stuff like that before I actually made the record.
Do you your record, the it's the Summer Skin one?
Mm-hmm.
That album's awesome.
Thank you.
You had Michelle Nicocello mm-hmm. on there?
I did. She played bass.
What did you, when on the demos, was it just you playing everything?
Yeah. It was really fun to make it.
There's something about that. I mean, do you think like after doing a record like that where it's like Craig Street, did you do it like out in LA and stuff or did you
yeah.
do it here? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I brought the record back and I did some background vocals and I redid some vocal tracks here at the Church House with David Boyle.
Okay. Well, that's where you did the record before that,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay.
Yeah.
And were you there when Robert Plant sang?
I was, yeah. Craig wouldn't, he just like left the room. So I was like on the talk back with Robert, he's like, okay, well, what do you think of that track, you know, that vocal take? And I was like, it was great, Robert. He's like, well, don't just blow smoke off my ass. Like, tell him what to do.
Cool.
And I was like, no, it was great.
Well, does he sing on a lot of people's stuff? On anyone's stuff? I've never heard of him singing on somebody's album.
I don't know.
Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, Patty was going to sing it. And then she got down there and Robert had just come along because he was going to sing on Airplane Driver, this part at the end, because he'd heard the song in the car while we were driving around. He's like, oh, I hear some oohs and ahs at the end. And I was like, okay, well, you can come sing them. And Patty was like, I don't know, this song just, it just seems like it needs a male vocal. And he's like, do you mind if I give it a go? So, wow.
Did he move away? He moved away, didn't he?
He did.
I never got to.
You never got to interview him?
And not even, I don't know, if what would you say? I would just probably just ask him what's going on today. You know what I mean? Like yeah. Today, like literally yeah. What'd you do today? You know, yeah. Like what am I going to ask Robert Plant?
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. I think it's interesting enough. What did you do today?
Yeah.
I mean, he liked to go bowling. We went bowling.
That's just weird.
And he liked to go to the Fiesta Market.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I read that.
Mm-hmm.
I read that. That's a great market. What's your preferred supermarket?
I go to different ones for different reasons. I lived in Travis Heights for a long time, and I just like to go to the Farm to Market right there mm-hmm. on the corner of Annie and Congress. It had kind of everything I wanted.
Do you eat meat?
I do.
Okay. That's, sometimes you never know.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the other night I went to dinner with somebody, and they ordered the exact same thing that I did, and it was steak. And it was a relatively, first date situation.
Oh.
And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Don't girls sometimes get weird about steak? And, they don't want to go out and eat a steak on it?
I don't know. I mean, not the kind of girls I hang out with.
But you know what I mean.
I mean, most girls I know will eat a steak.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I guess there is a subset of women who will not eat steak on a first date. I don't know them, but
maybe that was just like my mom. Maybe I just heard that.
Maybe. I mean, they're
old school people.
There are salad girls and soup girls, I guess. I don't know. They probably wear those kind of really high heels you can't run away in, too.
I wish I had a photo of salad girl, right, to put up so I could see exactly she's a superhero.
Oh, you know what she looks
subset
like.
Subset of humans. Salad girls.
Salad girl's a superhero.
So what was it like working with Craig Street?
Oh, he's great.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's just a really, great guy, loves music, and he really knows how to put the group of people together that he wants to work on the record. And
did he put a lot of the people together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good group of people.
Yeah.
And it sounds great. David. I always try to see what he's doing in there. And I always think, you know what I mean?
He's
like, I know there's another guy. But then every once in a while I hear something that I'm like, ah, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I can always tell which thing he was doing.
Yeah.
We made it. They played the record all live. And it was fun to do it that way while I was singing. I didn't play anything. It's the first time I haven't played on a record.
Wow.
Maybe I played piano on a couple tracks. But David is just... he's definitely one of my favorite guitar players. He plays just such beautiful stuff.
Yeah. I saw that you just played with Willie Nelson and another guy.
Sturgill Simpson. Yeah. That was a fun show.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to get the call to open. But it was really, really great. We had a lot of fun.
Do you have a booking agent or manager or something, or did they?
I have both of those things, and I'm grateful for it. But it was really fun. I don't know, because I guess I don't think of myself as a country artist, and I figured they'd put another country artist on the bill, but it was more just they just wanted, I guess, good music.
Right.
So the crowd was amazing, and it kind of fit right in.
Yeah.
And so it was a fun night.
I see how to me, the style of music that you play, I understand because I know it, but I could see how it should work with country people and it should work with rock people. Like, what do you view it as, your style? I mean, is that a weird question, Amy?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. And it's funny because somebody had asked me I had said something about you the other day, and they're like, well, what kind of music does he play? And I was like, well, my kind of music.
About me?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Really?
Because, yeah, because it's like, you know, it's sort of pop inspired.
Yeah.
You know, in like when we were younger.
Yeah.
It would have been in the pop section, you
right.
know, with like
right.
the music that was pop music.
Right. Now if it was
and
pop
everything
music,
would be in pop music yeah. that was, but now it falls into sort of the Americana section, which is everything that's not popular.
Right. It's
like
huge.
Super popular, you know.
So
like,
my music would fall in there too? That's wild.
Well, what do you consider it?
I don't even know anymore. I don't
right.
know what the genre is.
Because I don't consider my music
rock.
Country, and I don't really consider it folk.
No, but there's and, elements of those things in it.
Yeah, and there's elements of rock in it, but it's not really rock and roll. But pop rock used to be the category. It wasn't. There weren't so many like subsections of
right.
subsections of subsections of subgenres of music. It was just pop rock.
Yeah,
and that's what it kind of was. And now there's like alternative, indie, and you know, like all these things.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, well, everybody's kind of indie now, unless you're, you know,
yeah,
Iggy Azalea.
Yeah,
and,
Iggy Azalea.
You know,
I just saw her on a show the other night.
Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
Is that a real butt? Is
no,
that a real kind
get,
of butt that
they
people
get butt,
have?
They get butt implants now.
No, they don't.
I swear to God, they do.
Because her butt didn't seem to match. It's like, I guess they're like the fake boobs of the
yep.
of the now.
It's the fake boobs of the now is the fake butt.
It's where, you know, I remember you would see someone real small, but then they'd have these gigantic boobs, and you're like, that's just, there's not physically, that doesn't,
yeah,
God doesn't do that stuff.
No. but your plastic surgeon
so
will.
You can go get, so the kids today are getting butts?
Yep.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just have a bunch of milkshakes? You know what I mean?
No, because that won't just put it right there necessarily.
Ah, that's
like,
so
I mean,
weird.
I'm sure the first person that had the butt that was like that was like the milkshake butt. But then you couldn't necessarily guarantee that it wasn't going to go to your stomach or your thighs. Like, so you had to work out and just get the butt plants.
That is so weird.
Yep.
So that girl has a, Iggy Azalea has a fake butt.
I believe so.
I might have to stop the machine and go back and watch that again. Because that really was my thought. When she stood sideways with that other girl, I was like, that is weird. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't even know if it's hot. It's kind of freakish. I guess you'd have a fetish. Like, I like a giant butt on a small person. I'm a small person with a big behind.
It's the thing, man.
I'm sorry that this has degenerated into this. How was that show, though? That's a nice stage to play.
I thought you were still talking about Iggy Azalea.
Yeah.
No, the Moody, it was great. It was,
yeah.
It was really great. It was fun.
And did you meet, have you ever met Willie?
I haven't met Willie.
But neither.
Yeah. I really love, like, the beginning when Whiskey River starts and the flag, the Texas flag
yeah.
drops, it's just the coolest.
Yeah.
And he's just amazing. His guitar playing's amazing. And it's just, he's the best.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah.
And he's got, is he doing like a whole show now?
Oh, a whole show. And he just goes from one song to the next.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like,
no...
it barely ever stops for him to say anything. And it's like, I don't know. He did not have a set list up there. It was just like, he went from one song and then the next beat, he was into another song and the band
yeah.
was right there. And it was just unbelievable to
he
watch.
He still does it. I mean, he's got to play like 200 days a year, doesn't he?
He plays a lot. I don't know
crazy
how much,
amount.
But yeah.
Would you want to play that much? Because that's a lot. Like sometimes, there's guys like David, I bet, would play every night.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it probably depends on
what it
would
was.
Depend on
yeah.
what it was, and you know, it's not. I guess it's nice to roll around in one of those buses. It feels like home, you know, and you got your family with you and stuff. That's
yeah.
That's probably different than just leaving everybody yeah. behind and driving around alone in a van, which is what I do, and sleeping in the back.
It's just you when you tour by yourself.
Yeah.
Oh. But you did some of that. You toured. Did you open for Ben Queller and stuff this last year?
I just opened for Ben in Dallas and Houston, and it was really fun. And I I rolled around with them in the van. So
that's good.
So that was awesome.
Yeah.
And, but I did a couple of runs with Alejandro, and their van was jam packed. So I just took my own van and took, I made a bed in the back so that I could
take naps.
And I did some camping and
really
I slept by some rivers and stuff like that. So it was pretty fun. And then it got really cold. So that ended. I don't want to be cold.
No.
So
no.
When it's cold.
You're from California, right?
Uh-huh.
But aren't you from like San Francisco? It's cold up there.
I'm from San Jose.
San Jose.
And it's not as cold as San Francisco. Okay.
How far away is that from?
It's about 60 miles south of San Francisco.
And it makes that much of a difference?
Yeah, San Francisco is just, it's oddly frigid. It's just, it's right there on the bay and it gets foggy and the breeze just, it just.
Relentless.
Yeah.
With the wind.
With the wind.
And the cold.
And the cold.
So, there was something I was about to ask you. How do you listen to music? Because I was listening to your stuff on Spotify.
I also listen to music on Spotify.
Do you?
Yeah.
How do you view that? How does that, like, is it a threat to you? Is it a bummer to you?
I don't know. You know, I buy the monthly subscription for Spotify. And, I mean, I've never gotten a check from iTunes. And
right.
I've never gotten, you know, so I don't view it as like I'm getting less money from one or the other. I've never got a dime from either. So, I don't feel like even I have a stake in the game at this point. I just saw my bass player buy a track on iTunes the other night at the show, actually. We were like telling him about a song. Yeah, Brad Hauser. We were talking about a song and he went to iTunes and he bought it. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm supporting the artist. I'm like, dude, the artist is, you know, it's like, come on. Like, it's six of one right now. Like, what the artist is, and you're paying like $1.29 or whatever for that song.
You
like,
need
you're
that
the artist.
Cents.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, and just go to Spotify and listen to the track, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, I know some people are really, really opposed to it, but I think if you look at the numbers, and my feeling about iTunes is that in a way they've cornered the music industry back in the day. And sort of made all of this happen.
Yeah, it all made it. I mean, it made it. That industry made this all happen.
Yeah. So I'm not a big fan of iTunes. Sorry, iTunes. So
I'm just as well to on iTunes.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
I could have given it to you for free.
No, you know what? It was before I even knew you.
Oh,
it was like when it very first came out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I hope they enjoy their $9.99.
Yeah, I hope they do too. Bastards. Well, the way that I see it is kind of like I've always been kind of like a blue collar musician that shows up and does the thing and gets paid for it and then goes home.
Yeah.
And then, so Spotify to me, like when I first joined up on it last summer, once I paid my thing and you can just get all this music, there were bands that I had heard of. I'd never really listened, you know, underground bands people tell you about, but
totally.
At some point the list gets so long, you can't really afford to go out and get all that music.
Yep.
But all of a sudden I'm listening to all this stuff that I'd always heard about or, you know what I mean? And it was, as a fan, it was like the greatest day in my life. But there's people like Tony Scalzo that have like lived and made their living off of what comes in the mailbox. That's a whole different thing than I guess we're used to.
Yeah. I think you can fight it as much as you want, but the big music catalog in the sky is what it's going to be, you know?
Yeah, it's like the only thing that's not on there is the Beatles, kind of, and Taylor Swift.
And the Beatles and Taylor Swift, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I just, I really enjoy it. I can go in there and listen to whatever I want to. And
How do you find new music? Like, do you look for stuff, or do you happen upon stuff, or do you see stuff your friends tweet, or isn't that weird to say? But sometimes I find new music because someone that I think is cool said this is real cool, so I'll be like, oh, shit, it must be cool.
Yeah, I think usually, like, I'll hear something that just somebody will say something about a record.
Yeah.
And sometimes on KUTX, but, and then sometimes I'll go to different NPR stations and see what they're playing.
Oh, yeah.
See what is, sometimes tweets. A lot of times, honestly, it's just what people are talking about.
Yeah.
What somebody tells me to listen to or what they're listening to.
Yeah.
I don't really dig around too much. This is recommended for you. Like,
right.
I don't really do too much of that stuff.
I do because since I started this show, I have to find people that I don't know about.
Right.
So that leads me to a lot of stuff and it's kind of now habitual. So I'm always finding a lot of stuff. I don't know how much better it is than before when I, because now I can go I listened to 8 bands yesterday, but I can't name one of them. I'll have to go back and look at my history of listening or whatever.
Right. I think some of my rituals are gone because of digital listening. I used to go to Amoeba when I lived in Los Angeles. I would go there on every Saturday or whatever. Yeah. And I'd go and I'd listen to new music and I'd flip through the records and see what was up. And that sort of tactile thing of
hunting
is sort of it's different now.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I just don't know, there's nothing that's replaced that for me.
No.
In terms of another ritual to fill its place. So that's interesting.
It's weird. Do you listen to vinyl at all?
I do. Yeah. Record player.
Yeah.
So I still enjoy doing that.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. That to me is because you have to at least listen to one side of something. Because it's hard. It's hard not to listen to things on shuffle, even if you want to appreciate the masterwork of an album.
Yeah.
You're cleaning your house. You throw your thing on shuffle.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, as an artist, I definitely my manager's been telling me, it doesn't have to be a whole record. It can just be a song. And I just don't think that way, I just think, I think of a collection of songs. I don't think of, a song or three, I think of, a whole piece of work as a piece of work.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me. That's why I like listening to records, too, because I know that that's what it was intended to be,
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny.
I bet you're having a lot of conversations now with your manager about how are you going to do this next time? Cause your last two releases, things changed from the first one to the next one. And then now whatever the next one's going to be, it's going to be released into a different world again.
Yeah.
And even though I would venture to bet that your music and your fans are people that do hear a song, buy an album, or if they're Spotify people, save the album or whatever, and or go on iTunes and buy the album and then go see the show. I mean, do you feel like that's kind of like?
Yeah, probably. I mean, people consume music in all sorts of ways, right? That's probably about standard for my crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's really different, but I'm sure now that you're looking at it and it's going to be a couple years away from your last one, and there's things the way that U2 released their last album, that's just real weird.
Mm-hmm.
And invasive. Did
they just give it, they just threw it on everybody's computer, didn't they?
Yeah, you woke up one day and you had a U2 album, whether you wanted it or not, was there. And man, people were not into it. And I mean, people were really more not into it than into it. They were pretty bummed out, which is weird.
Yeah, it's weird. I get
well, all of a sudden you
putting
was
something
the man
on your computer is sort of like, it just feels like somebody's gone in there and.
Well, it's totally.
But they give you some. They put stuff on your computer all the time. Yeah, it's not totally unusual.
Yeah, but rock bands don't come in and invade your.
It's true.
Hard drive,
right?
and place their weird album on there and then leave. I mean, that's just weird. And then, like, the Foo Fighters, they have really gone out of their way to make a TV show about, you know, each going to a different city and writing a song about the scene. I mean, they really... To me, I mean, I'm not saying that's a gimmick, but it is. I mean, they sat with their manager and they're like, what are we going to do now?
Like, yeah.
Because just putting out an album doesn't really seem like fantastic enough. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I wrote these songs. They're really good. We recorded them. This sounds great. Check it out. It's like, nah, it's got to have some kind of like...
angle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't seem like an angle person.
No, I'm not that much.
You probably have a manager that's probably like, hey, we got to do this angle thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that much of a go-getter, honestly. I'm just a singer-songwriter, you know? Yeah. I mean, I like to work hard and everything, but I am not like a bang-your-door-down to get the message out kind of person, you know? And I think what's... The problem is, no one's buying records. There's no money being made by just writing a record and putting it out there, you know? So it's all messed up. And the only way that people sort of are making money at the level that I'm at are selling your songs to commercials, television shows, those kind of things. But, like, I don't know. That's sort of disheartening to me. Like, when I was growing up, it was like Neil Young. Like, you don't have your song associated with, like, cars. Like, when I see a car, like,
no,
then it's the song, and then you're just like, that is this, oh, that's the car song, you know? It's like, no, that was about a really important time in my life where I was brokenhearted. Like, it's not about a car, you know? And so, but now it's like what everybody's big dream is they get the car commercial.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't know, it feels disheartening, but so I don't know. I mean, those opportunities are there for people like...
I like that charade, though.
I played drums like the Foo Fighter, like Dave Grohl, because I still think of him as Nirvana's drummer. You know, they can make a TV show or whatever because people want to watch Dave Grohl doing whatever Dave Grohl does. And people know who U2 is, but like if you're sort of like mid-level, like whatever artist, like it's harder for you to like find some kind of like bang down your door thing.
Well, you know that like the terrible thing about the U2 thing was that a lot of people didn't know
it was going to happen.
They know who Bono is, but they don't know who or what U2 is.
Oh,
like a 15-year-old.
Doesn't know who U2 is.
They know that guy with the glasses that is on TV sometimes.
Got it.
But they didn't know who U2 was either.
Mm.
Which is weird.
Yeah, I don't think... It's hard to imagine that for me.
Well, that's what happens when you throw a thing out to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You realize that, like, there's a whole new generation of people that, you know, the Joshua Tree isn't this giant thing for them.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's actually a park in California that they might have gone to with their parents a couple summers ago.
Right.
It's weird. So you don't know how you'll do it? You're not going to do just singles, though.
No, I mean, I might do a couple, but I'm just going to write songs and I'm going to sing them and I'm going to leave it to...
Am I stressing you out with this?
No, not at all.
Okay.
It's just, it is what it is. And, you know, we have to work two jobs. That's okay. It is what it is. You know, I saw this picture and it was of Yankee Stadium back in the day, like a long time ago. And every single man, and it was mostly men, and they were wearing hats.
Yeah.
Like hats, old school hats. And it's like, that's not what they're wearing anymore.
Nope.
And so things change, you know, hat makers. They're not making that kind of money anymore.
Yeah.
Like, style changes, things change.
Well, yeah.
I mean, like, the hat makers, they go, what's going on with the hats? It's not fair, you know? It's like, it's just, it is what it is. The things change. Technology changes, innovation changes how we listen to things and how money is spent on things. And are we going to make music or not make music? Like, we can't just complain about it.
Right.
Like, it's not fair. Well, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's you want to make music or not make music?
Yeah. The world over the last, like, however many 15 years has just started moving so fast, and everything in it's moving so fast, and everything's so much shorter. And what the fuck is with the whole mustache thing? You know what I mean?
Mustaches and butt plants. That's where it's at.
Really, like, when you leave, I'm ashamed to say I'm going to go to my ex-girlfriend's house. I'm taking my computer and I'm just going to look at butt plant pictures. I also have some family members in the plastic surgery racket.
Oh,
I'd like to find out.
There's another interview right there. You got to do a whole interview about butt plants.
Last time I saw you, we hung out for a couple of days. I'm going to leave that ambiguous.
Okay.
Like, just so who knows. Whoa, what were they doing? No, yeah, we were in that David.
Yeah, the Elliott Smith tribute.
Present Elliott Smith. That was the best.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Why can't we do more? Why can't that just go on tour? And, like, each of us will write a song and, like, give it to David, and he'll have a band arrange it. And then we'll just go up and sing, like, two songs, and they'll be sold out.
I don't see why we couldn't do that.
Everyone be, you know.
That's what
we should
do. Is
there a way to sustain ourselves in the living if we just started like a circus?
Ooh.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I'm always thinking. I just came up with that right now. Copyright 2015.
You got it.
Yeah. I guess some bands do that. There was that band that did. You play El Cosmico though, don't you?
I haven't the last couple of years.
You haven't?
Mm-mm.
That's kind of like that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
is
so.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Is there's another festival also that happens that's near here?
Oh,
I can't believe I just said that. There's another festival that happens around Austin.
But there's like only one.
Every other week. No, but you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. And
does it have a Spanish-sounding name?
Yeah, I can't think of it right now.
Did you play that?
No.
Because I know Ben Queller. I think I saw Ben Queller playing that.
I'll think of it just...
Okay.
When we're done, I'm sure.
Okay. Just tell me later.
Okay.
So that, I don't know where I was going with that, but I had such a great time doing that.
I did
too. Being around everyone.
Yeah. That was what was great, was just the sense of community and sort of belonging that was, you know, really big.
Yeah.
It feels good.
What are you listening to? Anything good?
What am I listening to? I haven't been listening to a lot of new stuff lately. At all.
Mm-mm. You just look at the butts.
Yeah, just look.
I don't need to hear the music.
Yeah, I just
look at the
butts.
I just
put it on mute and watch the butts go around and around. I'm trying to write right now, and
do you keep the forces out?
I don't keep the forces out necessarily. I like to have the forces around, but just lately I've been keeping it a little quieter.
How do you record when you're writing your songs? And do you just do like a microphone thing, or do you set up a whole thing with? You said you did it with
Korg.
Yeah,
and I have like four drum beat machines like from the 80s and
yeah.
Guitars, and then I just set up mics for like the piano and amps and whatever little weird sounds
that's
I
nice.
Want to use, and throw them through weird little looping stations and to try to set up little melodies and stuff to see what happens.
Yeah that's good.
Yeah, it's fun. That part's fun for me. Like, it's like being a kid, you know?
I think David does it. Like, that's how I do it, too.
Well, that's how I learned. I mean, I learned...
On a four-track?
I learned from David, like...
Oh, okay.
Like, how
to... I was
going to
say, because, yeah.
How to use the Korg.
Uh-huh.
And how to do a lot of these different things just from watching him. Because he's just sort of like a little... He's a fun little playmate
yeah.
to do this stuff with. And so I would watch him, like, just... tap on a cymbal for 5 minutes, you know, with a mic, and be like, okay. And then he turns on the little reverb all the way or the delay, and then he'll add some other weird thing, you know, like a toaster, you know, like, so that's kind of how I learned to do it years ago. And so I just take it from there.
Yeah. I think there's a whole group of people from that generation that had these four tracks that had no frills or anything. So we're all guys that like don't think twice about singing through a guitar pedal or something. You know, like that doesn't seem weird to us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Awesome. People now would be like, oh, what?
I just find that I've had all like Logic and Pro Tools and all that on my computer, and there's just so many options. Like there's so much that I just don't know. Like there's no boundary for me, and I end up like fucking around like with too many things for too long, and I don't get anywhere. Like I need like parameters that I can understand.
Yeah.
So like if the parameter is 8 tracks, these toys that are in this room right now, like then I can actually make music.
Yeah, I like those the best.
Yeah.
Like to have to make the best out of what you have.
Totally.
Yeah. That's what having 8 tracks, is it digital or is it cassette or something?
Oh, no, it's digital.
Oh, okay. It's like that. But I bet it's like that. Yeah. The only thing is this has a screen, so it seems very fancy, but it's the same as one of those things.
Yeah, totally.
It's just a 24-track 8-track.
Yes. Less tracks, but like that.
Yeah. So you are a Black Fret winner.
I am.
Grant winner.
I am.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I feel grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good organization.
It's awesome. These guys are amazing. They've done a great job putting it together. Yeah. And it was really fun to be a part of for the whole year. And then to win was just a bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you, I guess that stuff unlocks as you do stuff like, oh, I'm going to go record an album or whatever, then you get money or something.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how it works.
Yeah. It's like, basically you win $10,000.
Right.
For the year, right?
No strings, which is weird.
No strings. The only string is you have to unlock the money by
doing stuff.
Yeah. Like, because we musicians are notoriously flaky with money.
Right. Yeah.
So if you write a song, co-write, you get a certain amount of money. If you go on the road for like every day, you can unlock a certain amount of money. If you know, there's just all these different things you can do, and it's pretty easy, I have to say, to unlock the money.
You just have to do what's expected of you as a musician.
Exactly, exactly. Right? If you're actually
write songs and play
doing
gigs.
Your job of being a musician, playing gigs and writing songs, you're going to get the money.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty great. And if you're going to go to the studio and you're like, hey, I need to pay this studio guy, you know, $5,000. I was in there a week or whatever. Then they hand you the $5,000.
So, right.
But it was great. I mean, all the shows were amazing. They paid you to play all the shows.
Yeah.
And it's just
I like
super
how,
cool.
how that's a bonus. They paid you to do your work.
No, I know. It was
no,
like,
but I know we live in a world where we actually have to take note of that. Like,
it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just enough to play for a full room usually. It's like, well, we're giving you a room full of people. Yeah, aren't you happy enough with that? It's like, actually, but also, we're going to give you like $500 to play. It's like, what?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And you've been playing with Brad and Chris?
I have. I've been playing with Brad and Chris Searles. Also, I've been playing with Michael Hale a lot, too.
Oh, yeah,
great drummer.
Good.
Yeah. He's real amazing and real busy a lot of the time.
Real amazing.
Yeah.
What a great singer, too.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. I love
Hale Marley.
Hale Marley.
Go see Hale Marley.
Is that a band he has?
Yeah.
Where's that?
They play all over the place.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to write that
down. He sings Marley songs. He's the lead singer.
Hale Marley. I used to see him play with David and the Love Beads. I mean, I've seen him play with David now, but I mean, like,
I never saw the Love
20
Beads.
Something years ago, like 24 years ago.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah, you know, I also made a pilgrimage from I lived in Houston when Twang Twang Chaka Boom was going on, and my friends had told me about them. They were like, "We got to go up and see." We drove up here and saw them, and then drove back to Houston.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I only play with drummers that play with David Garza.
Yeah, I was noticing that. I was trying to think. Oh, Nina. That's another
Nina
one.
Nina, too. I used to play with Nina. She was my first drummer. Nina Singh, man.
Yeah. Who was in that band? Nina and who was the bass?
Nina. Bobby Daniel.
Oh, yeah. I like Bobby
Daniel.
Yeah,
Bobby's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I play with him sometimes now, too, when he's not playing with Alejandro.
Yeah. Do you still, I guess you still stay in touch with Alejandro. You see him. Did you go to that thing the other night?
I didn't. I couldn't make it. Did you?
No, I wasn't. I still wasn't feeling great.
Yeah.
And I played the night before and I was like, oh, I'm just going to stay home. I wanted to see it. I wanted to see what he was doing with those. Do you go down to the Continental Club at all and see
occasionally
stuff that's going on in the gallery?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I
that's
do.
A great room.
Yeah. Have you seen Liv Mueller play yet?
No, but a lot of
she's
people have
awesome.
Told me about her.
She's so good.
Yeah.
She's just got an amazing voice, great songs, and she does this. She plays with Loop Station.
Oh, yeah.
And she's amazing at it.
That's
she's
awesome.
Really killer. And she's got these great outfits.
Really?
And the electric guitar. I mean, it's
oh, yeah, I gotta
fucking
see her.
Killer. Yeah.
Does she have a regular gig there? Do you know?
I think she plays on Thursdays.
Okay. What's today? Tuesday?
Yeah.
Today is Tuesday. All right, so Thursdays is Liv Mueller at the Upstairs Gallery place. Have you been to the Seaboys?
I have, yeah.
I like that place.
It's cool, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, I'm just trying to figure out what you do. I know that you've been lying low.
I've been lying low, man. Yeah.
That's weird. What are you reading?
I'm reading a Murakami book right now called The Wind-Up Bird Chronicles.
First, I thought you said a real Kami book.
Real Kami book.
Called The Wind Up Birds.
The Wind Up Bird Chronicles.
The Wind Up Bird Chronicles.
Yeah.
It's good?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just read a book called What Makes Sammy Run.
Yeah.
By Bud Schulberg.
How was it?
It was really good. He wrote On the Waterfront.
Oh, okay.
But it's about this entertainment guy that like breaks into the entertainment business and is a total shyster and just like lies and takes credit for shit he didn't do and just like goes right to the top. And it's really interesting because it's from the late 30s. Like nothing has changed. It could be like if they did that movie and I heard someone like somebody like Ben Stiller owns the rights to it. And if they made a movie, they wouldn't have to do it in the 30s at all. It could just be
oh,
now.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so, it's weird. That's sort of like
a timeless story.
Yeah, a timeless story about mm-hmm. shysters. You know?
Yeah.
There are shysters out there. I think that they're all kind of like weeding themselves out, though. Or am I just getting older and you just see through people? Like, I see people that start these music companies and then they'll be like, oh, hey, you should see what going to be doing some great things during South by Southwest. And I'm like, oh, okay, what do you guys do? And they're like, oh, we'll go check out our Facebook page. And it's just kind of like people at a bar hanging out, like with their friends, like, all right. And you're like, what's the thing? Oh, there's a bunch of us. That's one of our meetups. And I'm like, well, what do you do? You know what I mean? Like there's still that kind of thing
maybe,
with the music business.
I think maybe we were more eager when we were younger. Like we wanted everything.
So.
Like everyone that approached us, we were like, thank God someone's approaching us to do something.
True. That's true.
And now we're just like, oh. Yeah. We're like cynical and jaded.
Yeah.
Like, or at least realistic.
I guess it's like those things. But I knew that even when I was a teenager. I remember a friend of mine saying like, oh, you should join this thing that I've joined because they're getting these models. And like, I think you could model and stuff like that. And I'm like, can't. I'm like 5'7". Like, that's not even tall enough to be a female model, like, let alone a dude model. And so they're like, oh, no, this is great. They'll get you tons of work. And you pay them like $1,000 and they make up. I'm like, for some reason, that never made sense to me. That and like, oh, we'll place your songs. Just give us $1,000. And I'm like, fucking place my song and take $1,000 out of what you make. You know what
well,
I mean?
You're one of the smart ones, Johnny.
Is that smart? Or no, is that
also,
just like
now you kind of have to at least have a decent logo before we'll, like, if you don't have a decent logo, come on.
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows the logo, you know, if you have a picture of just you and your pal, like,
yeah,
forget about it.
It's weird. I thought that the social media thing, like, you could never go up, meet somebody at a bar and they're like, oh, yeah, I produced Bruce Springsteen. You're like, what's your name? And they're like, oh, Dave. And you're like, psh, no, you didn't. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I feel like it's like a new level of shysters that are out there, but they're on, then they have Facebook pages and they make announcements about announcements. Big announcement coming soon. We're going to be talking about it. Big announcements. So, do you have any big announcements? Mm. Or any just regular announcements? South by Southwest plans?
You know, I am playing South by Southwest, but I don't have any announcements about it.
People can go to Amy Cook Music, or no, amycook.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just straight up Amy Cook.
For any announcements.
Yeah, for any announcements. Well, you have a Facebook and a Twitter, and you're active on there.
I got logos. Come on.
You actually do have logos. I like the pyramid for an A instead of a letter.
Thank
and then
you.
The rest of them are letters. Mm-hmm. Was that Alexandra? Was that
yeah,
you?
Yeah, Alexandra.
I love her.
And Alexandra Valenti, everybody.
I don't see her enough.
Me neither.
She's here though, right? She lives here.
Yeah.
And she's doing
a great, great graphic designer, photographer.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. Is there anything you want to say before you go away?
No, I had a great time.
Yeah,
just talking to you
great
about
time. I love
announcements
this kind of show.
And
yeah.
Butt plants and black frat. And
we gotta get
all
into,
of it.
Yeah, I wonder if Colin and Matt, if you can unlock something, if you're gonna
yeah,
get
maybe
a new
I get
butt.
Paid. Maybe I. Oh, if I can unlock my $10,000 all at once. I could probably not even get one butt cheek implanted.
Oh, I bet it is really expensive.
For $10,000.
Is that why they have booty jeans?
Do you think I'd be more successful if I had butt plants?
I'm trying to remember your butt right now.
It's like, it's uneventful. It's just uneventful. Like, I was not going for big. I thought, no. I didn't realize. There's not much going on with my butt.
There's no way. I guess there's exercises you could do to keep your butt.
I mean, my butt's not bad. It's not, just not like Beyonce or J-Lo or...
But Beyonce, those are real butts. Beyonce
and
J-Lo.
I don't know.
J-Lo's got a real butt.
Maybe.
The title of this episode is Butt Talks. With Amy and Johnny. Well, how do you like living down south?
You know, it's interesting because I've always lived in the city, in the middle of the city, pretty much. You know, I lived in LA for a long time in the city, and then I moved to Austin and lived
in the city,
real central. And now I live, you know, where I live is beautiful. I live on 3.5 acres, and it's lovely. And but when I leave there, I'm pretty much in the middle of the suburbs, which is strange for me.
Oh, right.
And so I'm getting used to that. It's odd.
Yeah.
You know, there's chain restaurants and like the Whole Foods is far away. And so it's the HEB is right there. And it's odd. It's weird.
They don't have fiestas
in the
suburbs.
No fiesta. So, you know, and I don't get this way as much as I would like to. So,
right.
I'm working it out.
I get scared about that. I went out with a girl that lived like off of 183, and I think that it didn't work out because of where she lived.
Yeah, I get it.
Is that weird to say?
No.
Good, thanks. I just felt really shallow when I said it out loud.
No, we get it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's geographically undesirable. So, this is a new qualification for person.
So ladies.
So
if
ladies,
you live central,
you have to live within a 3-mile radius of, I gotta be able to walk there if I run out of gas or something. It can't be more more than a $3 Uber ride. I want to say before I disintegrate into complete silliness, congratulations on that Black Friday thing, because I know there was a lot of people in it, a lot of quality people, and you were one of the 10.
Yeah.
That got that. And you're really deserving of it. I think you're a really amazing artist. I really do.
Thank you. I feel that way about you.
Thank you. That's really nice to say. I wasn't even fishing for that. And I did have a great time. Did I write you afterwards?
I don't know, because I haven't checked my email in 3.5 months.
No, after that thing, I think I did. I was like, Amy.
Oh, yeah, we talked after that.
Amy. John. Let's go back to the Elliott Smith times.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Have you talked to David lately?
No, David is... David is wandering around the world.
That's what he always is. Yeah. I realized a long time ago that if you really, you have to be as open-hearted and accepting of just floating feathers through the world, and you will have a great time with him all the time. Because when he's there, it's really unbelievable. He's the great, and that's the thing, I think, is that you selfishly don't want him to go away and go and be a feather in someone
that's
else's
really
life
advice.
For a couple of days.
That's really good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a friend that's mutual friends with him, and I said one time, I think that he's probably one of my best friends. I know that sounds weird. We don't hang out all the time, but like, I've known him for a long time. They're like, oh, he's never even like, well, and I was like, yeah, but I think that's why I'm his friend, because I learned, like, I don't get my feelings hurt or anything when I don't hear from him, or, you know.
Yeah.
I know I know when he comes to hang out, we're going to have an amazing time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's playing the Cactus on the 23rd.
I know, and I'm playing in Houston that night.
Okay.
I know. Ugh. Okay. Amy Cook, thank you so much. People go to amycook.com, and you can also find her music on Spotify.
Thank you, John, again.
All right, darling. Bye.
Bye. 'Cause
if there's one thing
I'm not kidding. I love Amy Cook, man. She is fantastic. I love talking to her. That was a great conversation. It was weird. We just kind of talked. Yeah, that's what I like, man. I like to do that sometimes. Don't forget that you can see her tomorrow, Saturday, January 24th, at Strange Brew Lounge here in Austin, Texas, if you live here. If you don't live here, go to strangebrewlounge.com, because you can watch a lot of those shows online, and you can tip. Yeah, you can tip the artist. So get over there to strangebrewlounge.com. Watch the show. It's interesting, right? They're also a sponsor of the show. Great place, Strange Brew. Get out there and see a show. Don't forget, for all your Amy Cook needs, go to amycook.com and get out there and check out Amy Cook. If you don't have her albums, Summer Skin, Let in the Light, her last two albums, fantastic albums. One produced by the great Alejandro Escovedo, the other produced by the great Craig Street. Okay? Thank you, Amy, for coming by. Remember, when you're on the internet, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher. You can like our Facebook page, and you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. All right? Thank you so much for listening. Let's listen to a little bit more music from Amy Cook. Let's get down. It's gonna rain.
way.